Welcome to the Susan Brender Show. It's all about you. Featuring shows on health and wellness, the performing arts, politics, and people who inspire you to be your very best. And now, here's Susan Brender.
And this is the Susan Brender Show. Today, my guest, who has been on my show before and who's made a real, he's made a dent in how people think about publishing. And publishing is very important for tons of people who've written books. And his name is Joshua Schmoody, and he's the author of Reverse Speech in Theory and Practice, How to Use Your Unconscious Mind to Predict the Outcome of Future Events, and the founder of Lionheart Publishing. I want to welcome to my show Joshua Schmoody, and today we're going to be discussing Publishing 101, because so many people don't know what to do. They want to write, they want to tell their stories, and yet they don't know how to go about it. So with that said, Joshua, welcome to my show again, and you're the owner of Lionheart Publishing Company, and today let's talk about Publishing 101, because as I said before, it's such a real difficulty for so many people. So what does Lionheart Publishing do?
Hi, Susan, and thank you for having me, by the way. So basically what we do is we kind of handle everything for authors from A to Z. But what I would like to kind of do is break it down in a way that people who have no experience in publishing, people that may have an idea for a book or already have something written, they just haven't published it yet, or they're actively seeking a publisher, mainly for these types of people that are kind of just getting into the publishing business. So really, to best understand what we do at Lionheart Publishing and what the publishing process is in general, I think that we should break it down into four different points that people should really be aware of when they're publishing a book. So there's four things that you need when you're publishing a book, besides your computer and, Microsoft Word. Four basic principles here. And the first one is going to be graphics design, cover design. So your book, once it's written, you need a cover for it, right? So you either need to hire somebody through a freelancing site like Upwork or Fiverr or Freelancer.com, or learn how to do the cover design yourself. Most of my covers are my books, and for the translations, I did on my own, but I did have a few of those cover designs actually done by a graphic artist. So for those out there who know how to draw or are good artists in general, I recommend looking into Adobe programs and maybe owning your craft and offering services if you have a good hand at drawing and you know how to use certain graphics design programs. You can make a pretty good penny designing covers for other people through those websites. So with cover design services, if they don't want to pay for them, what they can also do is they can use free graphics design services. And one of those, one which I've used myself, is called Canva. That's C as in Charlie, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, A as in Apple.com, Canva.com. And with Canva, they do have a paid service, but pretty much you can design a cover, download it as a JPEG, mess with the pixel dimensions. You can do all of that right through Canva. So if you want to design your own cover, I recommend using Canva. But that's the first of these four bullet points. So for your listeners, get a pen and paper and write that down. The first thing you need is going to be cover design services. You can either pay for it through a freelancer website, or you can learn how to do it yourself using free software like Canva or paid software like Photoshop, Adobe Photoshop. The second thing that you're going to need is formatting. So once your book is written, you need to know how to format your book. So that way it will be acceptable to distributors who will in turn distribute your book to retailers like Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Kobo. There's a whole host of distributors, and there's millions of retailers worldwide. And a lot of people in America know about a few of the main ones,
but there's literally hundreds of different retailers all over the world, or excuse me, hundreds of different distributors, thousands really, of different distributors, book distributors, all over the world. So the three that are the most well-known in America, I'll get into those here in a minute, but those are the three that we'll talk about when we get into distributors. But anyway, so you need to know how to format your book. And formatting your book, typically most people are going to use Word to do their formatting. And they can, as a reference, what they can do, what your listeners can do, is go to udemy.com, U-D as in David, E as in elephant, M as in Mary, and Y as in yesterday, udemy.com, and just type in expanded distribution. It's a five-hour course that I created about a year ago, and it's free for now. I'm going to start charging for it again. I'm just adding updated materials to it. But they can take advantage of that and listen to that five-hour course. There's also Book Distribution 101 on Udemy. And both of those courses get into formatting. So if they're interested in learning more about formatting, basically what it entails is making sure that your manuscript meets these distributors' requirements. So it needs to have page breaks after every chapter, typically. It needs to follow a certain font and line spacing. It needs to, if it's a paperback, it needs to have a mirror margin. So there's few things that people should be aware of when they're formatting their manuscript. But as you do it more and more, it'll come like second nature. With ebooks, you have to have a clickable table of contents. I know Smashwords explicitly requires that, which means you have to be able to click on each chapter heading, and it'll take you directly to that chapter in Word. And those are really easy to set up. But people who are just getting into this, it's best that they go on Udemy and look at some visual learning courses to know how to do it. It's hard to really tell people how to do it audibly. It's more easier for people to learn if they're shown how to do it. So that's why I recommend those Udemy courses.
And it reminds me of the question that a lot of people ask, which is, do they retain all the rights to their books? Because that is a very important point, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, so that's a very good question, Susan. I'm glad you asked that. So that really depends on them. If they want to go through a traditional publisher, they certainly can. But if they do that, then that means they will not be retaining the rights to their book. So typically with most publishers, this isn't all, but with most publishers, you sign over the rights to the publisher. The publisher owns the actual rights to the book, and they pay you an agreed upon set of your own royalties. So typically it's like 20 or 30%. Sometimes it's a little lower that the author gets. The rest goes to the publisher. So if they want to go through a traditional publishing route, they can, but they will get less royalties, and typically they will not own the copyright to their own work.
All right. So, Josh, they sign on with a publisher, and then suddenly they find out that their relationship with the publisher is not particularly good. How do they terminate a publishing agreement?
Well,
and
that
can
depends
they,
on the contract.
I should ask.
Right. To see that. I couldn't really answer that as a one-size-fits-all answer because it really depends on the contract that they signed. And the problem, this is the real problem, when you sign over your rights to a manuscript and that publisher has already distributed your manuscript, then it's going to be a pain in the butt, basically, even when the publisher is gone and your relationship is split and you take them to court, which can take years, but you take them to court, let's say you win in court, it could take ages for them to remove your book from these distributors, from these retailers, so you could actually publish it.
I hear you. Now, what services – excuse me?
Well, no, I was saying if you get a court order, let's say you have a contract and you have to take them to court and you win, they could still take forever and a day to remove your book from the distributors that they use, meaning your book will still be available by that publisher on those retailers' websites. So that's really a thing that authors should, really think about before they get into that type of relationship with the publisher.
Yeah, which leads me to the services that you provide that makes you set apart from these people who may want to kind of take advantage of a publisher. What do you do for them?
Right. So what I do is I provide services on an as-needed basis. So rather than authors having to sign over
their rights to me, and I own the intellectual copyright, and I distribute it, and I pay them. I handle it on a per-service basis. So if they need cover design, I'll handle the cover. They pay a flat set fee. If they need distribution, I'll handle the distribution. It'll be an account in their name that they'll have the login information to. I just set it up, basically, set up like a dummy account for them, and then they'll go in and change their password, and that's how they will distribute and get paid through the different distributors that they use. So that's pretty much how I do it. Each of these four things that I'm mentioning here, I handle as a separate service or product for the author.
Yeah, and also royalty rates. I mean, people hear about that all the time, and they think that the royalty rates are huge, but I have a suspicion that they're not. But what about them? So, could you explain a little bit about how that works?
Yes, yes. So typically with self-publishing, your royalty splits are going to be about a 70-30 with Amazon. And this is if you self-publish. So this is if you publish directly through Amazon. It'll be a 70-30 split. So 70% goes to the author, 30% goes to Amazon. Now, if you go through a publisher, that is not going to be the same. A publisher is probably going to get 70 or 80%, and the author will get 10 or 20%. So you get significantly less royalties if you go through a publisher rather than just do it yourself. Now, if you're a very well-known author, you might want to go through an already established publisher because they'll handle the PR aspect for you. But typically, most of the younger publishers, the less well-known publishers, will not handle that service for the authors. So they're not going to handle the PR, the press release, the getting on shows, they're not going to handle none of that. They'll just give you a small advance and expect the author to kind of take care of that stuff for them. So if they're a more well-established publisher, more well-known publisher, then yes, they'll handle it. But they're also very selective about the books that they're going to publish. You know, money on it.
Today, online publishing seems to be the trend. And is there any difference between putting it out there as a book, say, for Barnes & Noble's or one of the bookstores, as opposed to doing something online, which, as I said, is a trend?
Right, right. So this gets me into the third point, distributors. I'm glad you mentioned that. So the first point was going to be your cover design. The second point is your formatting. The third point is going to be distribution. So once your manuscript is formatted, you've got your cover design for your book, the next phase of the process is you have to distribute your book. And there's a whole host, of distributors that you can use. But there's three very well-known distributors here in America. The first distributor is going to be Amazon, Amazon KDP, which is a Kindle Direct Publishing, basically. And they can go to kdp.amazon.com, I believe is the website. So what KDP does is they distribute your book through all of Amazon's websites worldwide. So your book will be available on amazon.com, amazon.ca, amazon.uk. So Amazon is pretty much in every country all over the world. So your book will be available at every single Amazon site throughout the world. And it typically takes about 72 hours. So you'll upload your manuscript, which will be your Word document. You'll upload your cover design. And then you'll submit your book. And it'll give you a chance to preview your book, too, in like a Kindle Fire. So you can see what your book will look like on a reading device. So that's how you get it through Amazon. Now, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Walmart, all these other online and physical stores, you'll use separate distributors. So a distributor that distributes to Barnes & Noble would be Smashwords, which is S-M-A-S-H-W-O-R-D, as in David, S.com. Smashwords.com will distribute, they're one of the bigger distributors. They'll distribute your manuscript to Kobo, to Barnes & Noble, to Scribd, Access 360. They also distribute to a few library distributors as well, and that'll be a separate show. We can get into library distribution, which is kind of its own little side shoot. But anyway, Smashwords would be a second distributor that they could use to get it on a lot of other websites besides Amazon. Now, the difference, Susan, between physical and online, there's a difference. There's a few differences, but one of the main ones is with physical stores. If you're trying to get into physical stores, obviously you're going to want to have paper. There's two things with a paperback.
One, if you don't own your ISBN number to your paperback, if somebody else owns it or if it's issued by Amazon and you're trying to get your paperback into larger retailers like Walmart, into their physical stores, then you're going to run into some issues. This may have changed now that CreateSpace has moved over to KDP, but typically a lot of authors who got their ISBN number issued to them through Amazon or through CreateSpace, basically were not able to get their book into other stores because Walmart is considered a competitor with Amazon. So if they look up your ISBN number and Amazon shows up on your metadata, they're not going to accept your book. So what you'll have to do to circumvent that for your paperback, and which is what I did, is you'll have to bite the bullet and buy an ISBN number. In America, you have to buy them through Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R, Bowker.com. And what Bowker does is they sell ISBN numbers. They have a monopoly on ISBN numbers in America. So it's a business opportunity if you want to make a small investment of $1,500. If not, you'll pay about $150 for one number, one ISBN number.
Wow.
If you want to make the investment, you can get them for about $3 a number, $2-3 a number, but you're going to have to buy 1,000 of them. So this is how Bowker works. You know, it's great if you're trying to get into business selling ISBN numbers. You can do that. Otherwise, you're going to have to bite the bullet and pay that $150 and get your ISBN number because your name will be tied to the metadata rather than, or your publishing company's name, rather than CreateSpace or, you know, one of these retailers' competitors. So they really need to think about that with their paperback. That's one point. The second point when they're getting into physical bookstores is the cost to print as well as the wholesale and buyback program. So with bigger chains like Walmart, getting it on Walmart online, your ebook is not hard. That's pretty easy. And it doesn't take any, you know, large stipulations. But getting it into physical Walmart bookstores, and that is assuming that you already have a sell sheet, you already have a record of sales, a solid sales record for your book because they're going to want that. Then basically what they will require is to – you have to sell your book to them at wholesale. So you'll have to sell it at 55% discount. And then you will also have to have a buyback program. So after a year or 2 years – whatever doesn't sell, you buy back from them. So if you're a less well-known author and you're not financially established yet, I do not recommend trying to get your book into physical bookstores because it can be a disaster, the bigger ones. Smaller ones are not as bad, but bigger ones like Walmart, hold off on that for a minute. You know, I get it's an ego boost for most people. You know, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Books in Walmart is definitely a huge ego boost. I totally get that. But it's not worth you going bankrupt in the process. Like, make sure you're already well established first.
Which leads me to the questions. There must be different angles that people can take so that people find out about your book. So I'm thinking of, well, you could give talks in libraries. You could give talks in places like Barnes & Noble. If your book is there, give me some ideas, or give my audience who are trying to publish a book some ideas of places that they can promote their books.
Right. So basically, and that really gets into the fourth point. So after the distribution is taken care of, and it is in retailers, the last step that you really want to do when you're publishing your book is to market it, of course. Now, a lot of people think you have to dump a whole bunch of money into marketing. And I'm telling you right now, if your business plan is throwing thousands of dollars into a marketing scheme and hoping people buy it, that is a horrible business plan. You need to be focusing on outlets that want to buy your book and that you don't need to spend a lot of money to reach them, right? So the best way to do that is to set up talks in libraries as well as sell your book basically to libraries. Now, they just offered a new program for ebooks where they have like an LCCN number. But typically, when you're selling your book to libraries, what you want to have first is your LCCN number, which is your Library of Congress control number. You have to have this number typically for most libraries to be able to pull you up and to order your book. You know, they require you to have this number. Not all, but most of them do require it. And you have to get this number before you publish. So it is free. It doesn't cost anything, but you would have to go to LOC, L as in Larry, O as in Oscar, C as in Charlie.gov. That's the Library of Congress's website. You'll go there, mm-hmm. and then you will apply for an LCCN number for your paperback. And I believe it's a PCN, P as in Peter, C as in Charlie, N as in Nancy, a PCN number for your ebook, I believe. But they'll have to go to lsd.gov and check that out. So before they do the library thing, go to Library of Congress's website first and get those numbers before you even really publish and distribute it. You need to have those numbers. Once you have those numbers, the best marketing strategy when you're starting out is to call libraries, especially libraries in your area, in your city. Call libraries. Mm-hmm. Once your book's out, you've got the number, speak with their acquisition department typically, and let them know, hey, listen, I'm calling on behalf of, I would not recommend calling them and saying, I'm a self-published author, can you please buy my book? Call them and say, hey, look, yes, how are you? Can I speak to their acquisition department? Yes, okay, thank you. Hi, my name is such and such. I'm calling on behalf of blank, blank, blank publishing. And I have a few books here that I really think would be a great addition to your collection. The author is also from this city. And start the conversation out like that. You can also offer to do lectures at the library. So this is another great marketing ploy. Once you speak with their acquisition department, you can also set up something with their events coordinator. And this mm-hmm. they welcome these types of things at the library. So set up how to write your own book 101 or how to distribute your book. Do something nice, a seminar that you can give at the library for 30 minutes. Record, take your phone, take pictures of yourself, and then write your own press release and distribute it, which we can get into that in another show as well. But that's one of the most cost-effective ways to advertise yourself without paying a lot of money, and it'll grow over time.
Which reminds me of something important, and that is that there are a lot of people who got their start actually just by luck. Now I know that luck is not necessarily the way to kind of get involved in this and make money, but don't you think it's like that? It's like being at the right place at the right time.
I think that definitely is a factor, but I think I was listening to Tony Robbins, and he really made a good point. He's a motivational speaker. I love him. But he said, if you look at somebody who's super successful, typically they didn't get there by luck or by chance. Typically they did something. They followed a strategy, a pattern. They did something. And your best way to become successful like them is to find out what that strategy is. And so really to give the listener some context, one of the best strategies that you can use when you first start out and you're a no-name author, okay, and you've got your stuff out there, is to get your LCCN number and call libraries. Call libraries. They get money to buy your books, every quarter, every year. They will buy your book, typically. They're not going to tell you no. They might not tell you yes right over the phone when you call them, but at least pitch your book to them, because that is how you can generate a very effective sales record. You can generate sales very quickly, relatively speaking, and this will get you in the door with smaller bookstores. Once you have a solid sales record, then you can start calling indie bookstores, start smaller mom-and-pop bookstores, basically, pitching your book mm-hmm. to them and sending them your sell sheet, because what these bookstores really want is they want a record of sales. This is the bottom line. They want to see if your book is selling. If it is selling, it doesn't have to be a bestseller, but if you're getting 4, 5, 6 sales a month, it's consistent, right? They will buy your book at wholesale, and they won't have a buyback program. So they'll say, hey, give me 10 books at $10 a book. You just made $100 on that one call. So it can actually turn into a very effective business. It's just people, we get wrapped up with this, the media promotes it a lot, with this instant success story. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does happen. But those are rare. It's like winning the lottery, okay? If you really want to be successful, the truth is there is no magic pill. The truth is you got to put in the work. You got to do the research in your market, in your business. And then you got to look at the avenues that you can work with what you have. Look at the avenues that want to buy your book, and the sale is not a very hard sale. This is the best strategy. It's just everybody else is saying pour all this money into marketing, hope people buy your book and you get enough exposure. It's just a horrible business plan. Rather than calling people that want to buy your book already, and you don't need to spend all this money to market, it's completely free. You just take some of your time.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to finish the show, because yep. it gives people hope and it gives them the sense that there's ways in which they can do things that really benefit because they're doing something that they're passionate about. And writing mm-hmm. is something, and publishing, of course, makes a difference in people's lives. With that said, I want to thank Joshua Schmoody for being one of my guests on the Susan Brender Show. I really am delighted. And I want people to know to stay tuned, because Joshua Schmoody is going to be a co-host of mine, and we're going to do shows that are interviewing the most incredible people. So with that said, just stay tuned, and Joshua will talk all about some of the most amazing things. With that, I want to say thank you, Joshua, for being with me on the Susan Brender Show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Susan Brender Show. To be a guest, email sebrender@yahoo.com.